Our text for this evening is 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 55. Verse 55, 1 Corinthians 15. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We're looking tonight at larger catechism question 85. Question 85. Death being the wages of sin, why are not the righteous delivered from death, seeing all their sins are forgiven in Christ? The righteous shall be delivered from death itself at the last day, and even in death are delivered from the sting and curse of it, so that although they die, yet it is out of God's love to free them perfectly from sin and misery, and to make them capable of further communion with Christ in glory, which they then enter upon. Death is the wages of sin. And until sin came into the world, there was no death. God made his covenant with Adam. And in that covenant was a promise of life upon obedience, and a promise of death upon disobedience. In the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. And we know what happened. Adam ate the forbidden fruit, and so he died. Died spiritually, immediately. And physical death began to work in him. Dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. He began to age from that point onward. Without physical death, there would be no aging. He began to age, and he was, of course, in danger of eternal death in hell. He needed a saviour. So, death is punishment then. Death is punishment for sin. Death is wages. When we sin, we're earning wages. And God always pays wages. And when we sin, God pays the wages of death. But then, there's a question. Why do Christians die? Because when you become a Christian, all your sins are forgiven. The moment you believe in Jesus, you are justified. What does it mean to be justified? Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified, wherein he pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous. So, the moment we believe in Jesus, all our sins are pardoned. Your past sins, your present sins, your future sins. Pardoned. Completely pardoned. And you are accepted as righteous. As righteous as Jesus Christ himself. Perfectly righteous. So why then do you die? It's an interesting question, isn't it? And a difficult question. The wages of sin is death. But my sins have been pardoned. Christ has been paid the wages of my sins. Christ has died. So why should I die? For whose sins did Christ die? Did he die for the sins of everyone? Well, if he died for the sins of everyone, all the sins, of all mankind, then not one person would end up in hell. He didn't die for everyone's sins. He died for his people's sins. And did he die for all the sins of his people? Yes, for every single sin we ever did commit or ever will commit, Christ died for all these sins. The sins of his elect. And so the wages of our sins was paid to Christ. And Christ bore our sins in his body on the cross. And if Christ bore our sins in his body on the tree, why do we die? Now the Catechism gives us an answer. And it's a helpful answer. But it's not the total answer, because some things are mysterious and there's some mystery involved in this, why Christians die. We're not exactly told. We're told that Enoch, for example, went straight to heaven without dying. Did that mean that he never sinned? Elijah went straight to heaven without dying. Did that mean that he didn't sin? Of course not. They were both sinners, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then at the end of the world, those who are alive of the Lord's people at the end of the world won't die. And they go straight to heaven. So why do they go straight to heaven and we don't? Why do some have to die and others not have to die? There are perplexing questions there. We don't have the full answer, but yet this catechism gives us some helpful points. And the first point that we're told here is that we shall be delivered from death. The righteous shall be delivered from death itself at the last day. So, at the end of the world, when the resurrection takes place, we will be delivered from death. We'll be delivered from death then. Death takes away death. Separates body and soul. Body and soul are divided. The body goes to heaven. The soul goes to heaven and the body is laid in the grave. But on the last day, death is abolished. We are delivered from death because soul and body are united again. And soul and body are united again. No, never more to die. Never again will death be able to claim the Christian. That's physical death then. It's conquered at the resurrection. And furthermore, all sickness and weakness and disability will be gone forever. Now sickness and weakness and disability and disease and infirmity, all these things are linked to death. And when man sinned, these things came in, because these things are precursors of death and they are types of death. And they're a dying, as it were, of the body. All these sicknesses and infirmities and weaknesses are all linked to death, but they're all conquered at the end. Physical illnesses and mental illnesses, they're all conquered at the resurrection, completely conquered. And then when we think of spiritual death, Remember, Adam died spiritually the moment he ate the forbidden fruit. But spiritual death is conquered through regeneration, through the new birth. That's the first resurrection. And blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On them the second death hath no power. So, when you're converted, when you're born again, you rise from the dead, from spiritual death. So spiritual death is defeated then, and it never again has dominion over the Christian, because nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. And death shall not have dominion over you. You are freed from spiritual death. And you're also freed from the things that are connected with spiritual death at the end. Temptation. All temptation to sin will be taken away. All sinning itself will be gone. The righteous shall be delivered from death itself at the last day. And all temptations connected with death, with sin and death, eternal death also, hell, the Christian is of course delivered from eternal death at the last day. The wicked will be cast into hell, but not one Christian will be cast in. And between hell and heaven, there's a great gulf fixed, an unbridgeable gulf, so that nobody can go from heaven to hell, and nobody can go from hell to heaven. And in heaven, it would seem that it's possible to see the wicked in hell. But we see that in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. But there will be a complete acquiescing in the judgment of God. Complete acquiescing. We will be so convinced of the justice of God, so convinced of the wickedness of sin, and particularly the sin of unbelief, that we will agree with God's justice. And no Christian will complain at God's justice, but will say their amen to it. So, in that sense, there will be complete satisfaction with the justice of God. So, we're told here, the righteous shall be delivered from death itself at the last day. And even in death are delivered from the sting and curse of it. So when we think of physical death, we are, as Christians, delivered from the sting and curse of it. Now, all of us sometimes are frightened of death. And there's that natural desire of self-preservation in us all. Death frightens us. And yet we are encouraged to believe that the Lord will help us, be with us, look after us, deliver us, will save us from physical death, and will save us from physical death, not in that we won't have to pass through it, but in the sense that we will be enabled to pass through it with God's help. We will be kept from the sting and curse of it. And there is a sting and a curse in it. Yes. Even if it's, if you're just going to the dentist, you're alarmed, aren't you, somewhat. You don't like these procedures being carried out. You may be going for a flu jab and there's just that little bit of apprehension. Something so small. And so, of course, with the thought of death is, well, we've never been through it. We don't know what it'll be like. And so there's naturally an alarm, a fear. Will there be pain in it? Will I be able to endure? How will I be? Will I struggle to breathe? Will I go through terrible bodily distress, discomfort? We like to be in control. And one thing you can be sure of is that you're not in control when you're dying. You lose control. But what we are assured is that God is in control. And notice what it says here in the Catechism. So that although they die, yet it is out of God's love. So even death itself reveals God's love. And God will show his love and give us his love and make us feel his love even in dying. All things work together for good to those who love God. And that means that death itself works for good. And everything that happens to us happens in love. God's infinite love. Not one thing happens to you as a Christian, but God's love. God's love is in it all. And everything is revealing God's love. And even death itself is God's love. It's hard to believe. And yet, we are assured of this in the Scriptures. He loves us. He loves us with an infinite love. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. God's love is there. God's love is real. God's love has been shown to us all the time. God is our Father who cares for us, who loves us, who's showing us his love. So whatever we have to go through, whatever is before us, be sure of this. God loves you. God will look after you. God will bring you through it. He has promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. My God is my helper. Why should I be afraid? The sting and curse is gone. So that death for the Christian is not punishment. Death for the wicked is punishment. But for the Christian is not punishment. We're told here that death itself is out of God's love. Death is not punishment. There's no wrath of God in the Christian's death. And his grace is sufficient for us. His strength is made perfect in weakness. We have to believe that. We need to trust. And if we believe, we will have comfort. We'll have assurance. We'll have support. The last enemy, yes, that's true. It's an enemy, but we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? As a minister, I've seen lots of people on their deathbed, lots of Christians. And how often I've had such encouragement. Sometimes, maybe the Christian has been sick for quite a while and they're coming to the end. And there's such a sense of peace there. And sometimes it's even expressed. Fear seems to be gone. A sense of God's presence. Triumph. The end has come. I've had people say it to me. I'm dying. But the Lord is coming for me. I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to heaven. And sometimes a shining brightness on the face, as it were, heaven breaking through, a radiance from heaven. The Lord coming to take them home. There are different ways in which Christians pass away. Some pass away very suddenly. Think of my own mother, for example, talking to me one night, perfectly well, and then the next morning, 8 o'clock, getting a phone call to say she had gone. My sister found her there in her bed, her arms folded across her chest. She knew a time had come, and she'd just passed away, as she would like to, without being a bother to anybody, just passed away, ready to go, passed away into glory. I think of my father-in-law too, in the same way, how quickly he passed away, spending a day with the family, and then, before that day was finished, after a brief struggle, he was gone. And when we saw him there, he was lying in the chair. So peaceful. So peaceful. The Lord's grace and comfort and assurance. No doubt answering the prayers of his people in different ways, giving them the help they need, the support they need, and even the deathbed that would suit them. Others passing away, maybe talking perhaps to their family, speaking to their family, pleading with their family to trust in the Lord and to look to the Lord and to believe in Him, and then spend some time with Him, as with Donald MacDonald, our old elder here, to speaking to his family, and then the minister there praying with him, and I leave and he falls asleep and that's him into a coma and he's away. Peaceful passing on into the presence of the Lord. Nothing threatening there. Nothing frightening. For somebody who naturally was quite a nervous man and always had his doubts and his fears, and yet at the end, the peace and the assurance and the comfort. It was lovely to see. So we see here then that death is an expression of God's love. How is it that? Well, because it's a doorway to something far better. So that although they die, yet it is out of God's love to free them perfectly from sin and misery. What brings us misery in this world? Sin. What's our big problem in this world? Sin. How are we going to get the victory, the total victory over sin? Only through dying. We never get the victory in this world. Sin is always there. We're always sinning. Every day sinning. No matter how hard we struggle, we're sinning. But then, through death, victory. We'll never sin again. We'll never have the world seducing us. We'll never have the devil tempting us again. And best of all, we'll never have the flesh. You know how it is with us. It's so easy to sin. We become irritated. Or we grumble. Or we're angry. Or we're lustful. Or we're proud. Or we're self-righteous. Or we're gossiping. Or we're thinking things that's not nice. Or not kind. Sin is so easy. And sin is so hard to conquer. But one day, we'll die. And through death, we'll conquer it. Because the moment we die, we'll never sin again. And we'll never have the grief of sin again. And we'll never have the shame of sin again. Death is the doorway to something better. To depart and to be with Christ, says Paul, is far better. Far better. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. How wonderful. To me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. 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 To die is gain. We cease from sin and all the misery that it brings. It's there right up until the end. But one day the flesh will be gone, and the world will be gone, and the devil will be gone. What a wonderful blessing, never to sin again. You know, even in the holiest things we try to do, there's a mingling of sin in it. But one day, we'll love God perfectly. One day we'll love one another perfectly. One day we'll worship purely. One day we'll pray without any distractions, wholeheartedly. So that's one thing then. Death is an expression of God's love because we cease to sin. And also, because it's an end to pain and weakness. As long as we're in this world, we have our aches and our pains and our weaknesses, our disabilities. And as we get older, we become more and more conscious of them. Maybe in youth, there's a time when we think we're invincible, but then you get older and there's this ache and this pain and this weakness and this disability. Feebleness of mind comes, feebleness of memory, arthritis, blindness, deafness, dumbness. But all that passes away. All our senses, as it were, are perfect, restored. We'll hear as we never heard before. Hearing God. Hearing the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll speak. And we'll speak and we'll sing as we never sang before. So tunefully. So beautifully. We'll hear, we'll speak, we'll see. In this world, some of us have to wear glasses. And then there's some with glasses and they can barely see. But oh, how wonderful it will be when the eyes will be perfect. And when the eyes will behold the King in his beauty and the land that is far off. Looking at the beauty into the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our taste will be wonderfully improved. People get older, even their taste sometimes goes, but how wonderful it will be to be at the heavenly feast, the wedding feast of Christ, drinking the wine on the lees, well refined. And then the sense of smell, that can go too, but oh, the perfume of the garden of the Lord, the fragrance of heaven, the sweet smells of paradise. Blindness, deafness, dumbness, all these things gone. Eating and drinking. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall say. The lame leaping as a hart. In this world, sometimes we can feel very lame and weak and feeble. But oh, then we'll leap like hearts. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing. So, we look forward. We look forward to what death brings us to. An end of all pain and weakness. But, best of all, enjoying God's presence. Enjoying the love of God. And He will never leave us nor forsake us, and we'll never leave nor forsake Him again. He will be with us. He says He will be with us all the days of our life, and He'll never be nearer to us than when it comes time for us to die. You can be sure the Lord and His love will be there. He won't forsake us when we need Him most. That's His promise. He doesn't break His promises. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace sufficient. My strength made perfect in weakness. He will give His Holy Spirit in abundance. And His angels will gather around your bedside at the end. Ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. And you will have even foretastes of heaven before you leave this world. And then, closing your eyes on this world, opening them in paradise. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, all trouble, pain and sin gone forever, and entering into the unbroken communion with Christ, the everlasting pleasures that are at God's right hand. Although they die, yet it is out of God's love, entering through death into glory, into God's everlasting presence, God's eternal blessing. Out of God's love, to free them perfectly from sin and misery, and to make them capable of further communion with Christ in glory. Further and further and richer and fuller and greater and more wonderful communion with Christ in glory, which they then enter upon. Death, the entry to glory. So the question remains then, why do we die? Did Christ not die for us? Did He not suffer the wages of sin? Enoch and Elijah went to heaven without dying. Why can't we go to heaven without dying? Well, it's the Lord's plan, the Lord's purpose, that we should die. That's the way that we are to enter into glory. It's designed in that way. One thing that we could say too is, when we think, for example, of David, David sinned with Bathsheba. And then you remember how he prayed, confessed his sin. And God, through Nathan, said, "Your sin is forgiven." But yet there were consequences, weren't there? David's sin was forgiven, but the sword did not depart out of his house forever. So although all our sins are forgiven, yet death is there. Death is there. It's still a consequence. And yet, thankfully, death has been changed. And it's important really to notice how it's put here in 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 54, death is swallowed up in victory. When we reach the other side, on the day of judgment, risen from the dead, we'll look at death and we'll say, we've had victory, complete victory over death. And we'll say to death, "O death, where is thy sting?" I thought you had a sting, death. But actually, when I went through death, it was so loving. And God's presence was there. And there was no sting. where is thy sting? I thought you were like a serpent coming, like a snake. And I was waiting for that poisonous sting. But it wasn't there. Because Christ sucked the sting out of death. And grave, you seem to be so victorious, swallowing up all my friends, my fathers, all the people I knew being swallowed up by the grave. But one day, the grave is to vomit them all out again. And God's people conquer the grave, victorious, completely victorious. O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not which will give us the victory, but already is giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are victorious through Christ. We have victory and will be victorious over death and the grave. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Stand fast. Steadfast. Unmovable. Don't be shaken with fear. Don't be worried and anxious. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Work while you have strength for the Lord. Do what you can for Him. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And whatever you do for the Lord, it's not in vain. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, for their works shall follow them. Their works shall follow them. They shall rest from their labors, and their works shall follow them. No work done for Christ is a labor in vain. Let us do what we can. The day of rest is coming, the day of peace, the day of reward is coming, and be steadfast and unmovable. Don't fear death. We have to pass through it, yet even death itself, God's love is in it, and God's presence is with us, and He will take us safely through. Cast your care and your worries and your fears upon Him.